Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
First of all, congrats. I mean, I know, you know, you live and die with these calls as well and being a part of this organization and this team and following it. But I want to ask you about the coach, because we talk a lot about the quarterback, which we'll talk about certainly. But Zach Taylor and taking over this job, a lot of people said, is he the right guy? What's the culture going to be like? And then he drafts, obviously, in the process, Joe Burrow. But from a coaching standpoint, what is it about him and why do guys buy in? Because just last year, you know, this team was rebuilding, and now all of a sudden you got a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
I think it's two things with Zach Taylor. Number one, he really connects well with people. I got to know Zach when he was the offensive coordinator at the University of Cincinnati, because I do the play-by-play of their games as well. And he is such a good guy that everybody likes. And you don't have to be that way to be a successful head coach. But I think in this day and age, young coaches that connect with everybody in the locker room have a step up. And I think that's definitely the case with Zach. And then secondly, one of the biggest reasons why they hired him is that he is a really smart offensive coach. He calls the plays. Brian Callahan is technically the offensive coordinator, but Zach calls the plays, and I think he has great feel for it. And obviously it helps when Joe Burrow is your quarterback.
Yeah, we were going crazy with some of the in-game management. Obviously, the situation in the red zone a couple of weeks ago, that was a little hair-raised. What was your analysis from the booth on that one when you were kept rolling the dice when you could have maybe lost that football game?
I can't say that I was entirely convinced at the time that it was the right way to go, but I'll tell you what, after watching last night, one thing the Bengals did in that game against the Chiefs is that they did not give Patrick Mahomes the ball back with 13 seconds to go. So the way they played it in the final couple of minutes of that game looks better and better after last night's finish in KC.
All right, let's ask you about Joe Burrow. Tell us what you've learned about this young man. We saw him being in SEC country with LSU in that incredible run a few years ago, the record-breaking numbers. He gets to the NFL. He shows glimpses his first year. And then this year, you see he's a difference maker. What do you know about the person, Joe Burrow?
Well, he's a great leader, so that, I think, has been apparent from day one that he's been in Cincinnati. He completely is in charge of the team, even though he's a 25-year-old kid in his second NFL season. But the thing that stands out to me about Joe as a player is that I think he is already one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL, which seems absurd. I mean, when you've got veterans like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and guys like that still playing. But he has, I mean, he's a football savant. It's obvious that the fact that his father was a highly successful college defensive coordinator allowed Joe to understand the game at a different level from most people. I make the comparison that he's like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover playing blackjack, where those numerical formulas are swimming around his head as he steps to the line of scrimmage. And I really think he's like that. He just understands what defenses are trying to do against the Bengals, as well as just about any quarterback playing right now.
It is John Horde with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. What fun he's having right now calling the Bengals man up there in the jungle. Yeah, I mean, they talk about his swagger and attitude. We just thought he was going to get killed because of the offensive line, and then they doubled down on the passing game, and obviously it paid huge dividends when they go and get Ja'Marr Chase. But, man, I mean, to get sacked 9 times, were you starting to worry about the man's health on the game against the Titans?
Hard not to be after that game. It was 9 sacks. There were also 2 sacks that got negated, one by a penalty and one by a timeout that was called just before the ball was snapped. There were 4 additional hits. So that's unsustainable. He was sacked 51 times during the regular season, which was the most of any quarterback, 9 times last week, facing a Kansas City team this week that sacked him 4 times in the regular season. So it's been an issue. I'm sure they will devote a lot of their draft picks and their free agent dollars to trying to improve the offensive line this offseason, but at least so far, Joe has survived it this year.
Dan, tell us about the game at the end of the season where the Bengals were able to go beat the Chiefs, and can they take anything away from that game into this upcoming AFC Championship game?
Well, a couple of things stand out. That game was only 3 weeks ago. The Bengals were down by 2 touchdowns on 3 different occasions and came back to win, which is pretty remarkable. 2 things stand out, really. Number one, Kansas City secondary could not stop Ja'Marr Chase. He had 266 receiving yards in that game, which is an NFL rookie record. And secondly, the Bengals held Hill and Kelce to a combined 65 yards, 40 receiving yards for Tyreek Hill, 25 yards for Travis Kelce. Can they do that again? No, it's impossible. There's no way they pull that off again. But can they hold those two guys to a lot less than, I think it was 246 last night against Buffalo, to a lot less than that? I think they'll have to. Certainly that's going to be their objective defensively, to try to limit those two guys as much as they possibly can.
Another part of the equation, too, is Mixon and how solid he's been. And, again, perhaps maybe lean on him a little bit against Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, I thought the Bengals did a good job with that against Tennessee last week. People automatically go to the rushing yardage when trying to evaluate how a running back does against the team. And his rushing numbers were okay. I think he had like 56 rushing yards in the game, but he also had 50 receiving yards. If you add up the runs and the catches, he had 20 touches. So I think that's what they'll try to do against Kansas City. I don't know if they're necessarily going to hand it to Joe Mixon 20 times, but I think between runs and catches, he's probably going to get the ball about 20 times. And if you can use that to neutralize the pass rush a little bit, I think that would be a big key to trying to pull off the upset.
We're talking to Dan Hoard, guys. Bengals play-by-play voice here on Dukes and Bell. Bengals moving on to the AFC Championship game. What's the city like? What's the town like right now? We experienced this a few years ago. It seems like forever now. But the buzz, there's nothing like it when your team is relevant and your team is back in the mix for a chance to go to a Super Bowl.
100%. Nothing galvanizes a city like a contending NFL team. And I did not live in Cincinnati in 81 and 88, the last 2 times the Bengals went to the Super Bowl, but my color commentator on the broadcast played on the 81 team and was part of the broadcast team in 88. He's always told me what the city was like, how important the fans were to the Bengals' success back then, and we are seeing it now. I mean, everybody is wearing orange and black 7 days a week. It's all anybody is talking about in Cincinnati. And they had a tremendous number of fans in attendance at Tennessee last week, so much so that the Titans changed their ticket policy to try to limit the number of Bengals fans that could get into the game. So Kansas City has already come out and said they will not do anything like that this week. I don't know how many tickets Bengals fans will possibly be able to scoop up. Obviously, Chiefs fans are rabid, and they've gone to they've hosted the AFC Championship game now 4 straight years, so tickets will be hard to come by. But it really has been fun to watch how this city has just gone crazy for this Bengals team.
Obviously, you know, the defense, and we talked about it earlier, it was, Tannehill just, like, it was what it was. Tannehill was not great, but you guys eventually grinded out, overcame all those sacks. But on the other side, Hendrickson, you've got a strong defense. I mean, Hubbard, those guys get we suffer from pass rush envy down here, Dan. So it's you guys do have a good defense. Just got to shore up that offensive line for the big picture.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's interesting because of Burrow and Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Joe Mixon and C.J. Uzomah, this team has so many great offensive weapons that's really what most people around the country know about the Bengals without really knowing anything about the defense. But historically, the Bengals have not been a big spender in free agency, but they've been one of the biggest spenders in the league over the last 2 years. And almost all of those free agent dollars have been spent on defense, and they have hit home runs with almost every guy that they've signed. DJ Reader was Superman last week in defending the run against Tennessee. Trey Hendrickson has been one of the best pass rushers in the NFL this year. Chidobe Awuzie has been a shutdown corner. Mike Hilton is a great player. I mean, they've just nailed it, player after player in free agency. And that's how they built this team. They've done it through the draft on offense and through a free agency on defense.
I can't wait. I want to see what happens. I said this earlier, Dan, and I know you're going to be biased, but I'm like, there are a lot of people around the country saying, all right, the Chiefs, and they watched that game yesterday. They might not give the Bengals a chance. You just heard him 3 weeks ago. Right. Bengals come back. They came back a couple of different times from down 14. This is going to be a really interesting game. Dan Hoard, thanks again. Continue the great work. And a lot of our listeners down here from Cincinnati, they say, hooday! They wanted us to say that to you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.